This is LeSere Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm glad that you are with us today and hope that you can be a help by telling others about the broadcast that's heard at this same time at this station, Monday through Friday. We pray that the Lord will use the preaching of His Word to bring comfort to people in this time of difficulty and stress. We'll continue the message today entitled, God is Our Help. The text is Psalm 33, verse 20, Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
So first, recognize your need for help. Secondly, regularly ask for help. Psalm 38, verse 22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. The psalmist is saying, I recognize that the Lord is the one who is my deliverer. He's my salvation. And I'm praying, obviously, you can sense the urgency of this, the sincerity of it. Make haste to help me. Lord, this situation is urgent. I can't make it without Thee. I need Thee now. This is not a demand which is inappropriate of somebody trying to control God. It's just an admission. My need is so great. Thou alone art the source of my help, and I need it now. And then Psalm 109, verse 26. Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to Thy mercy, that they may know that this is Thy hand, that Thou, Lord, hast done it. Save me, deliver me according to Thy mercy. Encompassed in that is an acknowledgement, I'm not coming, Lord, asking for anything that I feel I deserve. It may be that one of the reasons you're in trouble is because you have failed to do some things you should have done. Or you have complicated life by trying to untangle some of your difficulties on your own without prayer, without consulting the Lord. So you're having troubles. Help me, though, Lord, I pray, not because I deserve it, but according to your mercy. That's what I need. I need your mercy. The hymn writer expressed it like this: "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." Is that not an appropriate prayer that we all should pray? And as we've looked at these Old Testament prayers, where God's help is being sought, let's think about one in the New Testament. It's one that I refer to frequently because it just rounds out the whole spectrum of what our needs are and where our help comes from. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Come boldly. Come with confidence. You're coming to the throne of grace, not to the bar of justice, but to the throne of grace. You're coming there to obtain mercy. That's what you need. You're not looking for something that you deserve, because you know if you see yourself aright, you deserve nothing. You're coming there to find mercy and grace to help. Now let's go back to the verses preceding this and see how powerfully the setting contributes to putting such wonderful emphasis upon the verse itself. Verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer is encouraging people who are facing difficulties, discouragements, and might be tempted to go back to the Jewish religion from which they have come, to hold fast their profession. You have reason to hold on the way. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore," in view of this, in view of the great high priest that you have, "let us come boldly unto the throne of grace." In the Old Testament order, the people were not able to come into the holy place, and certainly not into the Holy of Holies. Only the great high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat rested upon the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and that only on an annual basis. He had to be wearing the proper garment. He had to come with the blood that had been poured out from the sacrificial lamb. But now, we have a great high priest who invites us to come boldly all the way into the throne room. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Those priests could only serve for a limited period of time. But our great high priest, Jesus Christ, lives forever. And what's it say about him? First, it says he's the Son of God. What a wonderful intercessor to have at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Son of God who intercedes for his people. He is passed into the heavens. So after his resurrection, the disciples stood out on the mount and saw him that day when his feet lifted off the ground and ascended through the clouds and out of sight. He went back into heaven. The same Jesus that walked upon this earth and died at Calvary is ascended into heaven. And furthermore, it says he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're talking to an intercessor, to this great high priest who did himself live here on this earth. He knows from personal experience what it was like. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There may be times that you're struggling and you'd like to share some of your innermost feelings with somebody else, but you conclude they wouldn't understand anyway. Here's one who understands. Jesus Christ, knows more about you than you know about yourself. And you can pour out your innermost struggles to him. And he's sympathetic. He can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And then it says he was tempted at all points, yet without sinning. Now sometimes we may struggle a bit with that and say, well, he didn't have the sinful nature that I have. But think about the fact, because he was not sinful, being in the presence of sinners and then having Satan tempt him in the wilderness, he no doubt saw things that you and I do not see. And there were issues that would have offended him that wouldn't trouble us. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And so, look what he gives. You see, the high priest, the Son of God, passed into the heavens, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, able to sympathize with us, tempted without sinning. What does he give? Encouragement to come boldly, confidently. Not confidence in yourself, but confident because he has bidden you come, that you can come in his name and expect to receive the help that he has promised. He gives help. No trial is so great, but that Jesus Christ gives what the text describes, mercy and grace to help. Now, is that just some special occasion? I think not. If we're truly mindful of our own weakness and our need, that's something that's real every day. You get up in the morning and start a new day. Lord, I need help for this day. I need help to use my time properly. I need help to be always in the spirit of prayer. I need help that when some unexpected situation arises, that I will be able to handle it in a way that, by my example, there will be a testimony that will be an encouragement to others. Help. Help. Number three, refuse to seek help from the wrong source. Oh, that's the sad mistake of multitudes today. Even those who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ and will say, yes, I respect his word, but an emergency comes, they need help, and where do they go? They'll turn to the Lord himself. Psalm 60, verse 11. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Now, it's true that when the Lord blesses the effort, a man can be a help, a brother or sister in Christ, through exhortation, through words of encouragement, can be assistance to you. But the ultimate deliverance from whatever trouble we encounter is from the Lord himself. And particularly if you're leaning on the arm of the flesh, the scripture already said the arm of flesh will fail you, or you're depending upon man's wisdom, this passage says, vain is the help of man. You turn to popular opinion, what the philosophers of the day are saying, what seems to be a prevailing idea about how to deal with certain problems, whether it be marital problems or problems of depression or dealing with stress or some of these things that are so commonplace in our day, how are you going to approach it? Follow somebody's 12-step program or go to the Word of God, which has given us the divine inspiration, and follow the instruction that God has given us. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 3 speak to this issue. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. How sad that so many take counsel today. Receiving counsel has become much more popular in this country, but the source to which multitudes go is not that which honors God or presents his truth. And just because it carries the name Christian doesn't mean that it's biblically correct. I hear some of the counseling programs that are on the radio periodically, and some of the counsel that's given is certainly not biblically sound. The Lord says that it's rebellious children that take counsel which is not my counsel, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. A lot of times somebody will say, I believe in counseling. I believe in biblical counseling. And they believe it up to a point, till they're confronted with something that they need to change. And then that's a different story. I believe in biblical counseling for everybody else, but not for myself. Don't like to be confronted. Don't like to be warned. Don't like to be rebuked. That walk to go down into Egypt. Egypt often representing the world in Scripture. And have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And many are confused today because they lean on the wisdom of the world. They've gone to the world feeling like, this is respected. This is highly esteemed. I don't want to be a religious fanatic. I want to hear what these well-educated individuals have to say. And God says that leads to confusion. Let's see a New Testament passage. This is a quote from the Old Testament, but the apostle incorporates it as he writes to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's summary of the wisdom of the world. There are men of great intellectual abilities. They have studied, they've received the best education as far as men's standards are concerned. But if God is left out, what's the scripture say? The fool said in his heart, there is no God. So the man may profess himself to be wise, may have great recognition, but he has nothing to offer. God has already condemned the wisdom of the world. Refuse to seek help from the wrong source. Number four, recall the help that is given. When God gives you help, you need to recognize it. You need to think about it. You need to recall it from time to time. Psalm 27, verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The psalmist has taken consolation in the fact that God has been his help in the past. And Lord, that being the case, I pray that you'll not forsake me now. As you look back over the years, some of you are very young, but even in your young life, you can look back and see times that you've had troubles, you've had difficulties, you had discouragements, and you sought the Lord and he helped you. And those of us that have been around for a long time can think back over many years and think about all kinds of difficulties we've encountered and just stand amazed at how the Lord has helped us. How good God is to have been our help. But sometimes when we get discouraged, sometimes we're traveling through the dark places, we momentarily forget about it. We need to recall the help God has given. Psalm 121 verse 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Since that's the source of our help, that's where it comes from, that's where we have received the help so often that we have needed, be specific as you thank God for it, as you recall it, to go back over and not just say, Lord, thank you for all your past blessings. Name some of them. It'll give you a different outlook. It's pleasing to God to be recalling them and thanking him for them. Turn to the book of Lamentations, looking in chapter 3, these well-known words of the prophet Jeremiah when he's looking back and recalling the mercies of God. Verse 22 of Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Unless you not say amen to that, that they're new every morning. It's not just on some rare occasion that you enjoy the mercy of God. It's not just when you're facing your greatest trial. They're new every morning. Every morning. I attended the 60th anniversary of my high school graduation on Friday night. I was asked to deliver the invocation. And our class had 200 and some in it, and 68 of them have already died. Now, that sounded shocking to me. My wife says, considering your age, that's not that unusual that many have passed on. But it was a little shocking to me to think that 68 of the people I went to high school with have died. But as I prayed before that meal Friday night, I included in the prayer thanksgiving to God for his providential watching over us, to have preserved our lives and blessed us to be together on that occasion. Just the fact that we live from day to day is by God's divine providence. Life is fragile, can be snuffed out so quickly in so many ways. Are we recognizing the source of our help? And finally, number 5, rejoice in the helper. Delight in the Lord that provides the help that we need and that he regularly gives us. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Certainly you love the Lord because he's good and gracious and merciful. You love him because he is the sovereign ruler and he is the savior of your soul. But the psalmist doesn't hesitate to say, I love him because he has heard my voice. When I've brought before him my supplications, he has heard me. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I'm going to continue to call. Look at verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So there's repeated acknowledgement. First, that I love the Lord because he has heard me, and since he's heard me, I'm going to keep calling on him. So he's saying again and again, I will call upon the Lord. The apostle said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs. If you believe that, you have much encouragement to rejoice in the one who supplies the needs and the one who is your helper, to be continually thanking him for his blessing. Finally, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is what? My helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You need help. I need help. We need help individually. We need help in our families. We need help in our church. The good news is God is our helper. Recognize that you need help. Regularly ask for help. Refuse to seek help from the wrong source. Recall the help that is given and rejoice in the helper. In some of these verses we read, the writer referred to God as the Savior. If you're one who has seen yourself as a sinner, a violator of God's law under His judgment, you know you need help. You can't rectify the situation by your own effort. And where do you find that help? There's only one source, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. He's our help now. He's our help in the hour of death. He's our help forever.
I hope the message today has been a source of encouragement to you. We would be glad to hear from you. You can write us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Or you can go to our website and send us a message by that means, or make a donation there if you would like. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of my side, angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with